Did I miss the discussion of JD's terrible new show idea?
Yes.
You're right in the middle of it.
That would have made the greatest cold open.
Would it?
Probably.
Okay. But anyway, these guys are signed off now. I said hot geek chick, and they were like, yeah! Let's do it.
I would just like to advise XV to not be too negative, lest it his show become popular, and then you have to eat crow.
That would suck. It's not going to It's not going to happen.
I can always take comfort in that Fanboy Versus was a complete failure.
Yeah, I'm
right, gangs.
Yeah, congratulations, XV. I have like grown like hatred and have no interest in doing Fanboy Versus at all now.
So basically, we ruined Fanboy Versus for you.
Yeah, basically.
Well, JD, you're no Wingus, but I'll take it.
All right.
First, we ruin Wingus, then we take down one of our own podcasts.
Wait, are you serious?
We truly are a cancer upon the internet.
I'm mostly serious. Yeah, I really have no interest in doing Fanboy Versus.
Do you have episodes this week, or is it another week of?
No, I canceled. So
that's 3 weeks then.
We have to take on RFC next and destroy them.
Yeah.
That can't be that hard.
Destroy the pilot. Destroy like the flagship show.
Destroy the show that makes Killy pay for all of this.
Superhero Time, the only chaotic evil podcast in existence.
That can't be true.
A podcast that hates everything so much it destroyed itself.
Fort Max, I hope you're still recording.
I am.
Thank you.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
What the quote-unquote f*** are we even talking about?
Hey, Mickey.
I'm getting liquor, wait.
Paladin.
I'm sorry, I don't remember numbers, I just remember peeing statue.
Ken.
Happy ending?
JD Church.
Gonorrhea.
And Fort Max.
You can beat up the puppy, but you don't touch their hat.
So this week on Stereoscopic Superhero Time...
We're in 3D.
Yay.
You can't see it. Just have to take our word for it.
We're totally existing in three dimensions.
Just blur possibly your vision a little bit, and it'll seem like it's in 3D.
Yeah, just cross your ears.
You won't miss them.
Okay, so Paladin, what happened in the news that was interesting this week?
Well, there's not much interesting, so I'm going to go right to Kyoryuger.
Oh.
This week we saw scans for probably the last group of Kyoryuger toys, including the final Voltasaur, Bragigas.
What was with the black Kyoryugen?
I'm guessing that's another exclusive they'll be selling at some time in the future.
Oh. Okay, so looking at these scans, it looks like Bragigas is actually the only means to use all five of the core Kyoryuger Zords at the same time.
Yes. Right.
Plus it's a carrier for the other 13 batteries that don't have Zord counterparts.
Wow.
This just seems like weird toy design.
It's a little bit. Kyoryuger. Revolver Mammothy, I guess.
And it also shows Kyoryu Silver, which with Kyoryu Gray is going to be a little confusing. But
and Kyoryu Silver has his own unique weapon, the Giga Gab Revolver.
It's not like we don't have a gazillion blues.
And that's true, but, you know, different shades of it show differently.
Well, yeah, but silver will be shinier than gray, except in action scenes.
Yes, exactly. God forbid they fight at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And his weapon is the exact same colors as Torin, so fans are already speculating what that might mean.
Torin gets turned into a gun.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps thinking he's going to be a Doggy Kruger.
Everybody thought that when, you know, the first pictures of Gold came out.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably would have made for a better part of the show, but still. Okay, so anything non-Kyoryuger to talk about?
You sound really desperate.
Man.
Not a whole lot. There's a couple new exclusives that came out in the past couple of weeks. Kamen Rider Cyclone, Deno, Axe Form, the Sagittarius Zodiart, finally. And most of it looks pretty nice.
I kind of want the Supernova Sagittarius, but that'll probably not happen.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's about as likely as cancer.
And by that, you mean the Zodiart, not the illness.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Because the illness is far more likely.
That's harsh.
Oh, come on. We were all thinking it.
Yep. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, XB.
Harsh but true.
Thank you.
Well, you know, after I destroyed your comic book podcast, I got to throw you a little something.
I appreciate it.
By the way, I am totally responsible for Fanboy Versus going away.
Yeah, pretty much. You've destroyed any kind of joy I had for that show. So, thank you.
I got the biggest smile on my face right now.
I'm sure that you do. And somewhere, Kilby is crying.
Which just makes my smile even bigger.
Doesn't it?
That would make anybody smile.
I mean, see, JD, even as your comic book podcast lays in the flaming ruins, there's still a bright side to be seen here.
Right. Because
Kilby's sad, too.
Yep, that's true. Let's see if Kilby's...
It's perfect.
I'm going to message him. So.
It's going to be an ongoing thing tonight.
Probably.
It's not like there's anything else tonight.
I was just checking. Making sure. Prepare myself.
Maybe we should bring him in.
Oh, shit.
That would not end well at all.
No. Let's see how much he freaks out.
Okay, so while we're waiting for that, Paladin, do you have any more news items for us?
Well, on the new cover of the Figure Arts Collection book that just came out is a teaser image of Kamen Rider Blade King form.
Not surprising, but hey, King
but
form.
Where's Garen?
Peeking out from behind a corner.
Hello.
He's floating
like this.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was going to say Garen's floating in a tub of seaweed. What were you going on about?
I kind of like this Power Rangers Mega Bloks box set thing.
Oh, yeah, that is nice, actually.
I forgot about that almost.
Yeah. What?
I still need to get the Ghost Sager one.
It's nice just because you can go pick it up, grab all six, and you're done pretty much.
Yep.
Now, that's first being sold at San Diego Comic-Con, but it's not an exclusive there or anything.
Right.
Okay. Well,
it'll be at Toys R Us.
Kind of like Metro.
There's a lot of Ranger exclusives at Comic-Con this year.
Which is weird because the one they had last year didn't sell.
But the one they had last year was Samurai.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
This is Mighty Morphin, Mighty Morphin, and Mighty Morphin.
Yes.
Right.
Well, no, it's Mighty Morphin, Mighty Morphin, and then one that won't sell.
Well, right. Thomas.
That they only made 300 of.
Yeah.
And they'll still have 298 of them after the show.
Plus, Thomas, she has the figure arts for Gold. The Shinkenchers.
Everything's coming up, Toku.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been thinking about the Legacy Morpher exclusive at Comic-Con. And, you know, and how we were kind of speculating there would be a retail release of it. And I think I figured out how it's going to work. When they
Badly.
Do... Yeah, when they do the retail release, it'll be the gold-colored Morpher plates, but it will have the original five coins. There won't be green and white in there.
I can see that happening.
It'll just be a repackaging of the original Legacy Morpher, colored gold, no other changes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, here's my theory on how they're going to screw us over. It'll be the right coins and a gold morpher, but it will use swirly gold plastic.
You know.
On both.
You know.
Yep.
Can't rule that out.
I get what you're going for, but I don't think there would be enough stress on those parts to actually make that very risky.
I don't think
the stress even matters. It disintegrates on its own.
It just existing. Destructible.
Astral. Yeah, I've seen that horrific video, right? I have nightmares about it, okay?
Which horrific video is that? You name a lot of horrific videos.
Of course, there's the other way. There's, of course, the awesome way to screw it up, which is, well, Gold Morpher, the green and white Ranger coins, but using the old Bandai America coin designs.
Mm.
With the
Die Ranger Tiger and Godzilla, yeah.
Yes. I would want that, actually.
I know. I know you would.
That's the sad part.
Because you are General Pain.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Or, what they could do to screw us over is release so many of them that they clog shelves and never sell.
But and then screw us over that... in the future?
Now, here's the thing, of course. The other good... Of course, we've already had all the good drama of... all the drama that we've already had would be identical to what would happen if there wasn't a release of it at Toys R Us. So...
What they'll do, instead of releasing the Gold Power Morpher, they'll re-release the first one with 5 coins based on the Ninja Animal designs. The Ninja Animal insignias.
That would piss a lot of people off.
They'll re-release the original one packaged with the gold one, so you have to buy the original one again. For an even higher price.
Yeah, I could see that too.
They'd only sell them in a 2-pack of like $120.
I could see that. Or they would only sell the 2 power coins.
Package with power coins you already have.
Or even better, I got it. They'll sell the gold morpher with no power coins.
Will they sell the coins separately or not at all?
Not at all.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Did you ever get a response from Kilby?
Yeah, he QQ'd a little bit, but I think he's taking it okay.
He's not trying to convince you otherwise?
No, he didn't, really, so cool.
Here, Oz, is it cheaper not to spend the bandwidth on y'all?
Well,
Kilby has access to all the podcast numbers.
Yeah, I'm sure
he'll... So it's like he's known all along, yeah, this isn't really going anywhere. We'll just let JD continue with it because he gets entertainment out of it.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, well, I guess that's over with.
Maybe, or he might have someone try to take it over.
But he's just getting a blowjob at the time and he couldn't be bothered.
That's kind of unlikely. No, see, the great thing is, this means that this show is the only one of the original spinoffs on the network that's still going.
Now, wait a minute. Wow. Family Versus might still go on even if I'm not hosting.
No, it won't.
You don't think so?
No.
Not if he has anything to say about it.
Okay, well, think about it, JD.
XV wants to hope that it won't so he can still have that...
that title.
That title.
No, JD, think about it. McFeely called out 2 weeks in a row for whatever McFeely reason that was, but we can assume he's just not into it anymore either.
Need more whiskey?
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed ready to go this week, but...
Well, that's just because he knew you were going to call it off, so there was no risk to him.
Oh. Okay.
See?
I don't know, have you been letting on to this interest to anybody else outside of this show?
No.
Let's see.
No, so. Not really.
No, I'm sure you have.
Okay. I mean, maybe other than Kilby, but no. Mm.
Okay, so any other news or things to make fun of?
Oh yeah, this week we saw Figo Art Sailor Mars.
Yes.
That actually looks pretty nice. Along.
They're going in order of them, too. Which is fun.
So who would be next? Sailor Jupiter or Tuxedo Mask?
Probably Jupiter, because if they were doing things in order, Tuxedo Mask would have been second.
Yeah, because Tuxedo Mask appears right early. So for the girls, next is Jupiter, then Venus.
Oh, actually, if they're doing things in order, Venus should have been first.
Well, sort of.
I guess it depends... How you want to count first.
Well, Minako should have been first.
Yeah, Sailor V.
Will they do a festival exclusive Sailor V somewhere down the line?
Probably. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Probably so.
It seems perfectly suited.
Allegedly, the new anime is pushed back to December now.
Going by anime seasons, I'm going to imagine it's going to be probably more January, because the winter anime season starts in January, so...
But in the meantime, you can enjoy the stage show.
Yeah.
If they keep going in order, that means after initial 5, the next scout we should get would be Pluto.
Yes, it would.
And then the 2 if she still exists.
Then the 2 that matter.
Well, actually, Yeah, Uranus and Neptune up here before Chibi.
Yeah, Chibi Moon came after them.
Okay.
How would they do her anyway?
Smaller body.
Like, they did. It's like they did with Gohan with the DBZ ones. They just make a smaller body. And apparently, the Super Saiyan Gohan was pretty good.
Well, I think what it was is that Gohan was good compared to the prior two DBZ figure arts, which were regarded as not.
Well, they've gotten a lot better since.
Right, but Goku and Piccolo.
So figure arts in general, to be really
Goku
honest.
And Piccolo were not very.
Right, so that's why everybody was saying
what was
Gohan. What?
Mickey? What was bad about them?
Just, I think weird proportions and how the joints were cut, I believe.
Yeah, it seemed to be a problem stemming from, you know, the baggy clothing style.
It's something that figure arts had never done before. So
they kind of had to learn going through it.
Yeah. So once Gohan was like, I think, one of the first good ones. And then once they've been doing Trunks and Vegeta and whatnot, they've been knocking it out of the park, apparently, with some of them.
Of course, Vegeta is more in the skin tight range anyway.
Yeah.
Is there a Krillin? Right.
Yes,
there
actually,
will be
out.
A Krillin.
I should get that, because I want to open the package and see how he smells.
What? See how he smells.
That's
I'm
a
assuming
nose
there's
joke.
Some sort of context for that.
Oh. That's a nose joke.
Okay, I get it.
See, we need to make sure that Gigabeel gets a Krillin.
Oh, God!
You know, sit Gigabeel down with DBZ Abridged for an afternoon. Get him a Krillin, and then just let nature take its course.
Krillin would be replaced Rider 1, I think.
or would be replacing Sky Rider.
God.
Now, who would Pink Shirt Vegeta be replacing? If there was a Pink Shirt Vegeta to get.
Well, probably Rider 2.
Yeah, right.
Is that all the news?
I think that's about it this week, actually.
That's fine. Okay, so why don't we move into the Akiba Ranger finale.
Let's rip this Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Feel free, Mickey.
No, not me. I'm just being like us as a group.
Oh, no. You smelt it. You dealt it.
All right. Give me a minute here to...
Because, you know, if you refuse, it's going to go to Fort Max.
Damn, just jumping straight down.
Man.
All right, so where we last leave off.
Fort Max is hard. He's like, aw.
Well, he doesn't care. You know it.
No, somewhere deep down in there, he's like, oh.
No, man, Fort Max doesn't have human feelings.
Oh. He is a cold and ruthless general.
He's our abbot.
Fort Max is essentially a Vulcan.
He's also not paying attention.
No, he is. He's just not responding.
Key difference.
He's not giving us the satisfaction, that's the thing. Or, you know, he's encoding something right now.
Little from column A.
Little from column B.
I'm pretty sure he's always encoding something.
I have Sky Rider encoding right now.
Well, there you go.
Safe bet, you know. And I told you he was paying attention.
He's waiting for his answer to be relevant.
Well, no, that wouldn't be very Fort Maximum now, would it?
That's true.
Mickey, are you getting a Keeper Ranger somewhere?
I'm trying to figure out how to talk about it.
Oh.
It starts with a really great joke, but doesn't have a punchline.
What is going on? The power keeps flickering here for some reason.
It's all the water.
It's strange. Anyway, the episode opens up with Maoshina sexually assaulting the Akibas.
Yes, with her ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's.
Yes. These are all good things.
And they keep on doing defeat and death flags left and right to try and win, whatever. I really don't know how to talk about this episode in any kind of order. But I know that they summon Ultraman, basically.
Well, actually, to be specific, an Ultraman knockoff. And that is part of the joke that it's actually really, really good. Just they just don't really capitalize on it.
Well, it helped me out with that because all I could tell is like, that's kind of Ultraman-y.
Okay, it is definitely supposed to be like Ultraman. But the production company that's supposed to be behind it, that is the true villains of this whole ordeal that we find out, they say are Chino Productions, which is a foreign production company. What this is a play on is the fact that Showa Ultraman outside of Japan is basically distributed by a company named Chiyo. And they took very unscrupulous methods towards obtaining those rights to do that and have tried multiple times to do their own Ultraman, but have failed every time. So this is kind of actually a commentary on that. Anyway, that's what I meant about a really, really deep-layered, nerdy joke that it just kind of becomes kind of a monster of the day.
See, the weird thing is, you'd have to be really familiar with Ultraman stuff to understand that, and nobody cares about Ultraman.
Well, in Japan,
which gets to the whole problem this entire season, is that the entire season basically boils down to, we're not certain we can do... We're not getting any more time to do nerdy things other than this. Uh-huh. So we have to think of every single thing, nerdy thing we can reference, from how obscure, and cram it all into one season and try and work a plot around it somehow. We're not really concerned about that. We just want to get in every reference.
To the point that they use other franchises' things now for the end capper joke, which is kind of like... But see, the problem is that they set all that up, and that is kind of a brilliant setup thing to do, but it just doesn't feel like it gets... capitalized on then.
Because they didn't bother to write anything aside from the reference. There's no emotional reason to care about what's going on.
Yeah, and then it's kind of just, it was actually kind of a stock fight. And in a Keeper Ranger, that's kind of weird. Oh.
Well, they used the wolf phone thing. I thought that was
kind of cool, but.
Yes.
But then everybody dies.
Well.
And if you watch the 13th episode, which is recap, but then if you go to the end of it,
they're still dead.
They're still dead, and there is Yellow 4, which is funny, but
I mean, it's all great. Dead Rangers because Yellow 4, Aubrey Filler,
and Time Fire.
Well, okay, but think about when Gokaiger had their selection of dead Rangers. They used Dragon Ranger, Time Fire, and Abari Killer. Those are your classic three. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks about Yellow 4 in that context as a headliner.
Right. Yeah. They should have gone with, other dead. Like, Yellow 4,
Yellow
Black
Ranger,
Black Condor, and Black Condor, what is it? And who else? Who was
Yellow
it?
Ranger.
Beatbuster would have been hilarious.
Yellow Ranger from Go Ranger. Well, Blaine the second Jenga. One.
And then there's also this thing of Hakusei being turned into a little sister, which is creepy as f***. And
that was really weird.
And I think there's a reference there that I'm missing entirely. And, yeah, I don't know. This last episode just kind of...
It was a mess.
It seems like there may have been other references to things that maybe we're not getting or something. I don't know.
But, like, to a point where if you can't watch it and – it's like, it's like – okay, here's the thing. First season of Keeper Ranger actually got a lot of people who do not watch Sentai watching it because it was funny even without the references.
Right.
Here, you have these – I've enjoyed a lot most of this season. But here in this last episode especially, it's like – you have references, and that's the joke.
You know, it's like Glee.
And nobody wants to pursue this line of questioning.
Is that the joke?
Well, it's like when Glee first started out, and it didn't know how good it was, and it didn't really know what it was doing, it was great. And then once it caught wind that it was popular and it was, a certain thing, then it all turned to shit.
Tried to do things to that. Oh, this is popular with the fans.
Exactly. Yeah. And so maybe it's a little bit of like that, where it's like when it first started out, it was just trying to be funny and entertaining and kind of reference the stuff, but not take itself too seriously. Now it's trying to really reference stuff.
Yeah.
And
see, I don't want to shit on the entire season because
I definitely loved a lot of things
in the season. But between that and also the fact that they really kind of almost downplayed the girls to like they're just sort of
really yeah that there. Did happen.
It's like and it's like you know, Yuko slash
like,
you,
how bad.
Yumeria has basically she had one episode where she did anything, and then Luna has just sort of been there. Whereas Mitsuki got actual episodes that you know focused on her and developed her, and Luna's just kind of been there.
And also, Miria had a much smaller cosplay selection this season.
That's true. It's because she kept falling back on the cat costume. Instead of changing like almost every episode, like she did in the
She had a few changes, but there was a lot of cat costume.
And it was also the changes. She didn't change her personality as dynamically either.
Yeah.
And then of course, again, everybody dies, which is kind of like it's not.
It's kind of a cop out.
No, and it's like, what place does that really have as an ending to Akiba Ranger? Because it's really depressing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not so worried about that part because they've already built in that they retcon stuff out and change things.
Yeah, certainly, but it really feels like something that doesn't fit there.
Yeah, it seems like there should have been. It seems like it would have been better to do something funny that saved them at the end than to do that. Yeah.
It just feels very, very out of place.
Yeah, maybe they called
to me feels a lot like they didn't really have a good idea how to end the series.
While
so they just rocks falled, everyone died.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. It's like they want to do something not stereotypical and expected. However, this is the only option they came up with, and it just wasn't a very good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I can kind of see it as, they want to purposely leave themselves an out so that you expect it to be retconned and at least partially reset if they come back for a Series 3.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this kind of sucks.
The ironic thing is, though, it's like, even though I say that, like, I'm not worried, you know, that they could retcon it out and come back, I don't feel the same kind of oh my god, this has got to come back.
Yeah, and I think doing the retcon thing again would be like oh, okay.
Yeah, and see that's kind of my feeling too. This season has been a little bit too self-aware.
Yeah,
which is ironic because they weren't aware until two episodes ago.
And maybe that was on purpose at first, even. Yeah. But now they're kind of taking advantage of that self-awareness, and you know they're like, okay, well we can just do a reset again. It worked this time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nothing we write is going to have consequences because nothing has to have consequences in this show.
Yeah, and when nothing has consequences, I think that's what you get in this case, where it is kind of like, well, we can do whatever we want to because then we can just undo it. And that's almost, not really fair to characters, you know?
Especially
to
the viewer either.
Well, also, almost look at it this way.
Go ahead.
They got rid of all the Akiba Rangers. They left behind Malshina, Hakusei, and Kazkaz. They could bring in a whole new cast and still keep the other crew and tie it in as a sequel series.
Right. Yeah, now see, that would be more interesting. I would like to see that, actually.
And that erases them all being super self-aware about everything. They could sort of reset it without to do a retcon.
And I think that's far more likely, too. I'm sure the actors, while it's fun, I'm sure they're ready to move on. And it would be nice to kind of see a new set of actors come in. I would like to see them. They've been doing a lot of mid-range reference. I would like to see a lot of maybe some more older reference and like way newer reference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like I want to see Go Rangers and I want to see Go Kaijus. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like the references kind of stop at like Hurricaneer was, I think, about as far as they went.
It's all 90s almost. It's almost been exclusively 90s.
Well, that's because who they're marketing to is the people who grew up with that stuff in the 90s.
Well, and also they're kind of beholden to what Figuarts are coming out because Akiba Ranger is just as much a marketing vehicle for the retro Figuarts.
Well, the reason why they're selecting those figure arts, though, is because that's who's buying the figure arts, those people in that age group. So.
It's a chicken or egg thing, though. Like, are the figure arts coming first, or, you know, is it kid?
Well, in this case, obviously, the G-Ranger figure arts are coming out because of Power Rangers.
Right. There's the American influence.
So it's kind of funny that it's kind of – they're being influenced by another series from – across
well, and that's how we got the Powerful Rangers episode. I mean,
yeah.
That's Akiba Ranger acknowledging that fact.
Yeah.
The sad thing is the whole Powerful Rangers thing, that really could have been stretched into almost a whole season of stories if they did it right, but we just got one episode.
Yeah.
If they could imagine a whole season of Akagi coping with American bullshit.
Yeah, because they only scratched the surface of what they could have done there.
But again, that's
because
that's...
they crammed so much into it, everything felt super compressed for time. There's no chance to sort of absorb everything and have, you know.
It sort of felt like they didn't really broach any new territories of, like, the Sentai tropes, like, that they do exist. Like, you know, the Sixth Ranger thing. They haven't touched that at all, really. And now we're 26 episodes past, and it's like, well.
Yeah, well, they've done like a replacement, but not like the extra. No, they kind of did. They kind of.
Well,
they've
mentioned
the Fourth Ranger.
I mean, they've mentioned it, but they haven't really
done it. Yeah, they haven't really done
it. And if you bring in just a character to be that, there would literally be a season's worth of shows just in that plot.
They kind of felt up the extra ranger, but they didn't go all the way with it. You know,
they didn't take it home.
Right.
Right. There was some definitely above the clothes groping, but there was no, you know, nothing hardcore.
The way I'm kind of looking at Akiba Ranger over both seasons, the first season was made to pull in people who had at least a casual awareness of tropes of Sentai.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second season ended up being made to pull back in the people who liked the first season of Akiba Ranger, and just intensifying it where it becomes almost inaccessible to new audience.
Yeah, and almost they kind of almost took the first season so far to a point that they wrote themselves into a corner more than they probably even realized.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
They probably didn't think they were going to get a second season.
Probably. No, hell no. They were probably surprised they got to do what they did.
Yeah.
And that's probably why the first season's writing was so tight, just because they had their story, they knew what they were doing from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's the same writer and producer and all that.
Yeah, but I think you have that little bit of, it's
and
like...
also, they probably did... This was probably also done on a much shorter schedule.
Probably.
Yeah.
But there again, I think, you know, when you have like a certain amount of time and you know what you want to do, and then you haven't had success, so you're trying to do it well, and then the second time around it's like, all right, do that and better, and you're like, oh crap, I felt lucky
like
I figured that out the first time, yeah. So
that was the ending of Akiba Ranger.
A little sad.
I'm a little sad.
It wasn't quite.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown, I won't lie.
Yeah.
How long do we think before a third season?
Next year?
At least a year?
Yeah.
We'll see how well this one
pulls
off.
Let's wait until the toys are released and how well they sell. That'll decide.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's even a gauge, because, you know, we can still get Itasha Robos for discount.
Well, that's why they put Itasha Boy in the season.
Yeah, now because
that was one thing I did like in the end scene in episode 12. The boy, boy's here too. Like, who cares?
We can all die together. No, there was a couple of parts with like the suicide tropes. It was like, oh god, you're just making it worse. Shut up.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, it's not a complete loss. It's just disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is still funny shit in there, you know.
Definitely. It's not like a Kamen Rider O situation, but...
No. No,
it's... The first season of Akiba is like a 10. This is more like a 7.
That's fair.
Yeah. Speaking of O's, I'm subjecting both my wife and I to O's, so...
How far along are we?
8. Episode 8.
Still good.
Yeah, it's still enjoyable.
Have you met Dr. Maki yet?
Dr. No.
You'll know what I mean.
You'll know.
Okay.
You can't recognize
him from a Kiba Ranger.
Oh, no, he's in the next episode. Yeah, because I've seen that guy. Yeah.
I really like the episodes that introduce him, too. So that's actually a pretty good episode.
When does Earth come in? What episode, do you know?
Around 20.
17.
No. Okay. 16. That's kind of what I thought.
Oh, you just finished the episode with Bitch School, didn't you?
I thought Bitch School was 3 or 4.
It's 3 and 4.
Oh, well, then I was very right, wasn't I?
Bitch School, is that the one with the rich chick?
You're right.
Yeah. That was
where he got.
And they all talk about it. She should go to bitch school. old Kamen Rider.
That was the one thing got the Kiriba, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's got the Kiriba. Yep.
Don't get attached to that form.
No. Well, no. Just lost. Like, yeah, he did it once. And he freaking had to sacrifice him to save himself.
Get used to the budget.
Yeah, in the budget. Ankh is crazy. But no, I know the next episode is going to have the complete cat form or whatever.
La Torata.
Yeah, okay, whatever you said.
Injector.
Right on time.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, I mean, well, she's liking it so far, actually. So, you know.
Well,
like,
yeah, Oz is enjoyable.
Really good.
Oz is enjoyable at this part of the series. It's not until a ways later that.
For me, like the first four episodes, I didn't really get into. Then I started to get more into it when the form started being introduced. Then I really got into it by the time Birth was there. About the 30s is where I was like, "Oh my fucking god, what's happened to this show?"
I don't know. The thing I like about it right now is it's not very heady. Like it doesn't.
it's a very light show, but it deals with some issues you can think about by the nature of greed and desire and what's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's
if they'd followed through on that, it would have been a much better show.
Yeah.
I was just going to tack on and say,
there's totally those issues there, but you don't like have to pick them up. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of leave them behind and say, okay, and just kind of go along with where the series is at.
The thing about O's that makes it sting the most for me is that the part of the series that sucks was preceded by some episodes that were the best ones in the series, I think. So it's like it was at a cliff. It was going up, and then there was just the most sheer drop possible.
Mm.
Yeah,
Oz rode the Segway.
As bad as Wizard, or
no Wizard. Gradually, you started to realize, oh, this show is terrible. Early on, you just try to tell yourself otherwise.
Okay,
it's like eating a meal that's bland.
See,
the more you eat it, the more you hate it.
The thing about Wizard,
that's Wizard.
Wizard has not actually changed much since the first few episodes. It's just that the first few episodes were pretty enough with the choreography.
Forget about it.
And the special effects and the
costumes. By the end, Oz was almost nothing but pretty.
Well, yeah.
Well, you mean it was all flesh and no substance.
Nice, but then you suddenly realize, hey, none of this f***ing matters.
Yeah, there was no substance to the end.
Yeah.
All the substance that was in the final few episodes was really ham-fisted into it.
Yeah.
If you think about the ending of Double, you know, that it was a natural development of the situation and how the characters evolved.
You know, right. Double, the thing that surprises me about Double is that I don't mind that the main villain died 5 episodes early. And that is so strange because at first I thought, I was like, man, they killed Terror early and this dork in the white suit is going to be the final villain. But it still works.
Yeah.
Because it's about more than that.
Yeah. Anyway, so far we're liking it. She's liking it, which is big. So I mean, that's
fine.
What do you think of the suit designs?
I honestly don't really care for O's. And that's maybe another thing where it's like I'm not terribly invested because I don't really care for the O's suit design.
That's a departure.
You know, it's just it doesn't really grab me. It's a really interesting idea. I mean, obviously it's like, okay, and it seems like a too obvious progression from
double.
To three to four.
Yeah.
Forze in the sense was kind of cool though, because you did have the switches and it wasn't like it was differently. Yes. Where Forze was attachment. So it's like, okay, you get these tools, but with O's, it's too samey.
Straight up, straight up like double. And see, yeah. Actually, the thing about Oz's suit design that bothers me, and it's like, unlike Double, when Double changed forms, he's still the same costume, just different colors. When right. Oz changes forms, it's different costume parts. But the problem with that is he thus loses any kind of real distinct identity besides the guy that looks like, oh, he looks like a Jamaican flag.
Right.
Yeah, really, the seal is the only thing that, you know, stays the same. Yeah.
He doesn't have
to disagree with that in a little bit, because I think the way Oz uses his three-piece suit design is much more dramatic in the fights with the whole count the metal thing at the beginning of and end of each episode that gave some different options at the different fighting styles he could use.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but I can also see
how
he
had to make the best with the six that he had, and Force's combat strategy was basically, hey, I can pull a new switch out of my ass.
But at the same time, the suit still doesn't really have its own specific self.
Yes.
I mean,
even Wizard did.
Yeah, I can see that problem.
Well, but some are throwaway and some are not. Like okay, Cheetah, the Cheetah legs and the Grasshopper legs, okay, those have obvious utility, right? Yeah. Like, that's pretty straightforward. The Lion Head, what the f***?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just flashes. You know, it's not.
It's the Sword of Omen's Eye.
The Lion Head gets used more than the Octopus legs.
Right. And so but still, it's just like, it seems like some of the parts have more utility than others.
How many times did they
use? That's also kind of how the switches work, too.
Well, it is true, but in that sense, but they're still not major changes to the costume.
One issue with Oz also is that they gave him so many options, they don't have enough room in the show to use them.
Well, see, here's one thing I like the way the power structure is set up in Oz is that it's a power struggle between the powers between the heroes and the villains. There's a set amount of power out there. It prevents power creep from happening in the series.
Yeah, until Pudutera.
Right, but for the most of the series, it's a juggling act of who's got control over one set of powers.
Oh, definitely. I know.
Yeah, which and I do not. Yeah.
That, it keeps
yeah,
it very interesting
it's a great
and dangerous.
Idea.
I do like that aspect. I do like the sort of the struggle over the core metals.
Right.
You know, who has the core metals?
The
core metals obviously give you power, changing the balance of power. So that is in and of itself interesting. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of little interesting things, but overall, as far as the Oz design, I just don't. It doesn't do anything for me, I guess.
The actual powers, I will agree, and it's an interesting spin on the whole old Kamen Rider concept of the writer gets his powers from the same source as the enemies.
Right. Yes. And that's kind of
an anniversary year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was when they did the.
Which will become all the more obvious later in some time.
Yeah, the 1000th episode. You'll enjoy that quite a bit, I think.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
So, anyway.
Oz.
Oh, wait, Garo?
Garo.
That'd be a cool crossover. Garo's.
Yes.
I thought we already decided that I thought it was already determined that the first Garo crossover would be with Denno for the magic train.
Oh, yeah. That of course, nobody here but me and X.
Well, they already had their Oz crossover.
There's a
so
train.
Anyway.
There's a train in Makai Senki. Let's just put it like that. It flies.
Of course, it flies. All trains
as,
in Japan fly.
Yeah, as all good trains in Japan do.
Give me one train in Japan that doesn't fly.
The bullet train.
But it transforms. So there you go.
They do have some of the best. They do have bullet train to have some of the worst plans. Coating the tracks with glue.
Okay, Ken, you want to Garo for us?
Garo! And first, if we start off, we get a new opening, sort of.
Yay, the one they've been hinting
new
at
song.
For so long, right?
Yes, the song is great. It's by Jam Project, so of course it is. But there's a slight problem in the fact they did not change the visuals in the slightest, so it looks very odd. And sound.
I think they put together like a music video or something for it, right?
Yeah, it's like there's no sync to it, so it's like you're playing an unrelated song over the video, which you basically feel like it is. But it's a good song, so there's at least that.
And the single is supposed to come out at the end of the month.
Yay! I can always use more Jam Project on my iPhone.
Of course.
But regardless, and to the actual episode, we start with somebody getting hit by a car.
Fanfic powers again?
He seems to attract them quite well, actually. Of course, the Mekhi Knights have a plan. It's like, we need one of y'all to get hit by a car. Everybody turns, looks to Carrie, he's like, ah,
You know, I think he's doing his typecast.
Ghostbusters moment where they all look at Ray.
But okay.
So does he get power? Does he end up getting new powers from
no. Actually,
from
they
a
all
trio
do
with
it.
Dead knights?
But regardless, this is to usher a official from Vol City into a car, which is led away, and it's actually driven by Augury. Augury stops in a tunnel where Ryuga hops in and stabs the guy in the gut because they have a fancy new magic horror detector, which
it's a rattle.
Like, yeah, which works like their lighters on regular horrors, except it makes them their eyes go all funky red. So this old guy can actually move, and he starts beating the shit out of both Augury and Ryuga. And in spite of the fact that Augury nails like about a dozen arrows in his chest, and he's like, "Why the fuck is this guy not dying?" But luckily, Ryuga saves his ass as he's about to get eaten. Good timing there.
Mm.
But then Augury's all mopey and shit about the fact that
he kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks.
He's only just noticing that now. The series is like half over already.
Yeah, and then so we have another moment inside a hospital.
This episode conveniently is titled Hunt.
Yes, as they're being very proactive in hunting down the magic horrors, which is kind of awesome because normally heroes are just kind of like very proactive. They wait till the monster attacks. They're like, no, we're going to hunt these guys down. And
you mean reactive?
Well,
the magic horror designs are kind of frightening. Like in this first scene, he tears off his own head and throws it at Garo.
Yeah, he was. That was like crazy. I was like, holy shit!
And the head rolls up next to Augury and
it's
like,
headmaster.
Rah! I'm like, get the f*** out.
But as they, you know, Ryuga kills a doctor. That's sure. So that's gonna be noticed. Hope he didn't have any appointments that afternoon.
Come on.
And that's a frightening thing when your doctor's a soul-eating demon.
Well, and that's the thing that's really creepy to me is, like, it's not like these are people living in the, like, underground of the city, you know, or, like, they're hiding away or something. They're, like, doctors and politicians and, like, regular dudes, you know?
Yep. Rianne does notice.
They can't blame all this on the newscaster chick anymore, can they? Nobody's going to notice that these people are dying.
Yeah. Rianne does notice something on the floor, a vial that glows a familiar blue. Meanwhile, Augury's in the forest, getting mad that he hit the exact same spot on a target 50 times.
Or was he mad that the rock didn't break?
That's what was so awesome.
I'll get to the awesome part in a minute. So he goes back to their headquarters and tells Barai that he's heading back to the Tribune, which, if I recall right, that's the Mekhi Knight HQ from Mekhi Senki, right?
Which I guess still exists.
Yeah.
Even though there's very little evidence to that effect in this show.
But
really haven't hinted on any major continuity aside from, you know, the existence of the
Mekhi Knight.
Same monsters and heroes.
Yeah. So he's going to go back with his tail between his legs because he's not strong enough. And then Zaraba gets his one line for this episode, and of course it's the best line. It's like, cowards make the best excuses.
This is awesome. It's like, dude, you got owned by a ring.
And he just turns and walks off. Like, it's just like,
oh, are you going to cry? Don't cry. Aw.
Do you see any tears?
Do you need
Oh, there's tears later on.
Oh, yes.
So we have a brief scene with Takeru and Rui as he eats her rice balls, which is not a euphemism.
Not yet, anyway.
Huh? I admire his restraint. He has not tried to
get But unfortunately, it seems like her memory flashy thing is wearing off.
Yeah.
That might have been Takeru's memory flash.
Might have been. Although, later on, we'll see about that. So, anyway, Augury's trying to sneak out the back door when Ryuga is at hit where he put all those arrows in the rock. He's like, dude, that's kind of f-ing awesome. And he's like, well, it's not that great. And so Ryuga's like, you know, you should just charge and smash everything at once. And so he grabs all the arrows this is the best part. He grabs all the arrows out of the rock. He smashes the rock with the arrows. Then he tosses them in off screen. You hear all these arrows hitting the ground. Then when they cut to the next shot and he's walking with Aguri, all the arrows are just sticking in the ground.
Which I think the best part of that though is that Aguri's just like, yeah, I'm so badass with this bow and arrow. And then Ryuga's like, no, what you ought to do is f*** the bow and just smack him around with the arrows. Because the bow sucks. What I'm trying to say is your weapon sucks.
The impression I got is, you know, that Ryuga comes up, oh, is this what you're trying to do? And then he stabs a rock and breaks it. Then he's like, oh, here's your arrows back. Nope, sorry, tossed on the ground. Walks away.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like, Aguri has the accuracy but not the power.
Exactly. It's like, well, and that's going to do you ton good, obviously, because he just stabbed that like magic horror like 50 times with all the arrows and it just kept running around. He's like, why is it still running around? Because you suck.
And so before Aguri and Ryuga can go at it, as we see, Ryuga would kick his ass.
Oh god. It wouldn't even be a fight. He would just like dodge for a little bit and then knock him out.
Rianne comes in with the vial she found at the hospital and reveals it is like the vial she found in Rivera's dressing room, and it has a soul inside of it.
Feels will be coming.
She sends the soul to the next plane, and they realize, oh shit, this is bad, and we need to do something about it, because they are turning people into handy little snack size.
Snack people.
Snack people.
Fun size people.
Fun size people.
It's like it's not even their.
Hey, of course. Do you hate having to hunt down humans to eat?
Well, kind of.
I've got a deal for you.
Yeah. And so the first thing they think to check is, let's look at the Kaneshiro food facility, because if it's gonna be anywhere, it's gonna be there.
They're picking up on things.
Yeah, they're actually quite aware of what's going on, it seems. So Ryuga and Aguri go in the front way, and I like how they jump over the fence and then they're instantly in their disguise.
It's just like they don't even have any pretense whatsoever. magic happens.
that is the best part I love about their disguises, is that they just do jump cuts and like, okay, we're the
yep, we're good. Yep. We're good. They're like dusting them off and everything. Like,
yeah, I agree with
it's a Makai skill.
Brushing my shoulders off.
That's like so much more a thing in this series, because like that, Koga was never concerned about showing up anywhere in his armor and trench coat.
Yeah,
but that's just a little quirk of this series that I like. While Takeru and Rianne sneak in the back way, so as they go in, Ryuga immediately sees a touch a fire sign, and they're like, he's like, oh, okay, I'll hit this, and you know, we'll clear out all the humans. And Augury's like, no.
Augury's such a bitch.
it's like if you do that, then SG-1 will show up, and then it's like, well, then we have to do it before they show up.
So we'll be done before they get here. And he's like, no, but said not to do it.
But then Ryuga hears something, that little skill of his coming back against the pipe. And he hears it's like somebody expecting a baby, so he rushes along, and he keeps hearing going through until they run into some little lesser horrors, and take them out. And then Rianne and Takeru meet up with them. They find this little case, and inside the case is many, many.
Well, there was also where they found the protection spell around the place.
But yeah, protection spell, and then which of course is why Barai probably wasn't picking up on anything.
Yeah.
So they find all these vials, and then Ryuga starts listening to them one by one by one, which you can tell is absolutely destroying him.
And then it gets more
they all
up.
You know, complete with the most tragic backstories available.
Yeah. But, people were recalling their fondest. He was able to hear what their greatest hope was, or what at the current time when they died.
Just got married, just had a kid, 2 days to retirement, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, pretty much. But the actor does very well to sell it, I think. It's not overacting, which one of them does that in a second, but it actually does work in the scene. But then Rian uses her brush and is able to see them as they died. And apparently they were all being led through a line which...
Their spirits were being separated and their bodies thrown into an incinerator.
Yeah! They were just walking through and, oh shit!
It was like something XV built in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Take notes, XV. And then it gets worse because they see Rui's family that had gone missing. And now we see what happened to them. They weren't just eaten on the spot. They were sent through.
They were preserved.
They were preserved. And
like jam.
Needless to say, Takeru freaks out. And you know, I actually can't blame him because that's f***ed up.
Yeah.
See those people that you failed to save and then... Oh, that's what happened to them, precisely. Oh, shit. That is really f***ed up.
Mm-hmm. The one who lasts the longest is the kid, which just adds an extra tone of f***ed up.
Yeah, he lasts just long enough to realize, oh, well, I'm dead. I guess I don't get to eat rice balls anymore.
So the only one that
the feels! The feels!
The only one that doesn't show any reaction to it immediately is Augury, who back turn goes and slaps the alarm. And you're like, dude, SG-1's going to show up. And you're like, dude, we just have to be done before they show up.
Oh.
So, yeah, dude. Finally, Augury's balls finally dropped.
You heard, and they just went.
So, while all of the people are running out, the horrors are running back in to preserve their snacks. And... naturally, the Makai Knights are there waiting for them. And man, Takeru looks like he is going to just break them over his knees or something because he looks so pissed. But, so they go about all fighting the horrors. While Rian tries to get the vials out, she gets cornered by the lead magic horror. And then he gets cornered by Ryuga and Augury. Then he rips his dick off and makes a sword out of it.
Yeah, he did kind of do that. I think I'm going with this belly. I'm going with the belly, but it did
He totally ripped off his dick and then unrolled it.
His hands were in his pants.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's no uncomfortable subtext there at all.
Well, okay, it might not have been his dick, but it sure could have been his scrotum.
God. Yeah. But this habit of horrors, like... The magic horrors, like, ripping off parts of their body and turning them into weapons is
f***ed up. That's fine. It regenerates.
It's like he just reaches in his pants, takes hold, rips, and there's a spear. I think the intent is clear. So yeah. Augury fires off a bunch of arrows, but they all just kind of fall to the ground and miss. So this horror starts beating the shit out of him. Like, he's on the ground, he's just swapping him with his dick over
Who's
and over
daddy?
And over.
Who's daddy?
And then, you know, just to make it a little bit worse, he throws him into a barrel of poo water.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so Augury is all kinds of fucked up. So, he starts grabbing arrows. He starts, and they keep breaking. Finally, he jabs a bunch of them into him, and he's like, and the dude's just kind of like casual, like, are you? You're kind of pathetic, you know? You're just that desperate. He's like, no, I'm a Makai Knight. And he just jabs them into him even harder, then tosses them as Ryuga transforms. And I guess he kind of uses them to power up almost his sword, which itself is glowing gold now. And he cuts the horror in half.
I think what was supposed to happen here...
He got the...
It looked like... The Garo armor all turned gold before he struck the horror. So I think the arrows were getting
reacting that way only to the magic horrors.
And yeah, I think the arrows were picking up the energy from the magic horror, and that was used to charge
the
armor.
The bad side effect that he usually has was kind of almost offset by the fact that he was already gold at the time.
Although it still showed him being pretty weakened afterward.
Yeah, although he was able to stand
that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously
somehow the horror magic is connected to getting the armor to shine again.
It's only Garo that this is affecting, so it's obviously a plot they're going through with, but we'll just have to see where it leads.
Yeah.
So, the episode ends with them out in the field, putting all the remaining souls to rest by lighting all their weapons on fire and firing it into it.
Oh,
Makai fire. It's, you know, special fire.
Yeah.
Very Darth Vader.
Yeah. Yes, but they used the Makai fire to send them on to the next world.
Where's Hayden Christensen?
He'll be added later.
Yeah, they'll edit him in.
Yeah, that's Garo, the special edition.
But yes, that was the episode. That was a good episode.
This was kind of
I never get this right.
Get used to it, Paladin.
Yeah, not only, it was double because not only was it, like, with the kid and the souls and the stuff, but then they basically just told this dude that it's like, you know how bad you think you suck? You actually do suck that much.
Like, I know, it's like
they thought you were badass with that bow, but your bow actually sucks. It sucks so bad that you're actually better off bundling up your arrows and beating the shit out of your opponents rather than trying to shoot them with the arrows.
I'll admit, I was kind of surprised that with the way this episode progressed, it didn't end with Agri transforming, actually, you know, fighting in his armor and winning.
Yeah, instead he was used as support for Ryuga, which I think
it's a nice subversion that way.
I think those last few moments did show some hopefully good character growth that will hopefully carry on. Garo's usually pretty good at...
I don't know what you're talking about. They showed the guy being a bitch.
I know.
He consented to being a bitch. He conceded the point.
Okay, JD, remember earlier in the episode when Ryuga suggested, you know, just jamming all the arrows into the stone to break it?
Yes.
And Agri said something like, that doesn't conform to the style I use.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So the fight at the end where he's fighting back with the arrows directly is supposed to show that he's gotten over that in his head where everything has to rigidly conform to his style.
And that could,
the problem therein is, like, it's basically saying that his weapon sucks.
No, it's saying that his approach was incorrect.
Yes.
What I like is that this is his focus episode, and it makes him look like a terrible person throughout the beginning to end.
Well, yeah. So he's Kamen Rider Beast, but he's got a chance to get better.
Yeah, I do think he looks like he probably might be better as the show goes on, because they are, you know, like, addressing these issues that they have set up. And Garo, overall, I know these are different writers for this series, but is usually good about that when it comes to character progression, because if you compare Rey, the Silver Makai Knight from the first and second series, and basically the quote-unquote secondary writer, he is, from the beginning of the first series to the end of the second series, he is like an entirely different person. And it's not a sudden change, it is a progressive change. So I'm thinking that it'll show, that hopefully it'll show with Agri also.
I hope so, because right now I'm like, man, you suck as bad as you thought you did.
Don't worry about it until a couple more episodes
pass. I got a
little
bit more respect for him after the end of this episode.
I guess I'm just seeing it different, because
I'm with JD on this, that no, I think Agri just looks even worse in this episode than he has ever before.
I think that here was a guy that had, like, a method of fighting, and they had every opportunity to make it seem like he just needed to perfect that method to
get
better.
No, but see, what they're actually saying is his drive to perfect his method was not right to start with.
But now he's just going to use his arrows like a club. I mean, that's...
No,
what?
Now he's just going to loosen up his fighting style, probably.
You're assuming that. There's nothing... That's what I'm saying. All
you're
I have
also
is
assuming
to
that.
From.
You're also assuming this is going to go bad. You know, you need to give it a few episodes.
I say we wait and see on that.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. You guys have seen these series before?
It's only the halfway point, right? There's still a lot of shit to happen.
Right, I haven't. So I have no reason to believe that it's going to get better for this character.
You're thinking like Kamen Rider.
Well, no, not even that. I'm just thinking like character. I'm like, I'm seeing a dude that had a method of fighting, which was his bow and arrow, and that sucked, and it's continued to suck. And then in this episode, it showed it sucking so bad that he was better off bundling up his arrows and beating his opponents to death with them rather than using arrows like they're intended to be used.
I think the more important thing is that he had an opportunity and decided to try and run and then decided to not run.
That's fine. That's all fine and well. And I get that. But as in terms of his fighting style, his signature fighting style, that was shown to suck. And that's concerning to me. I'm not saying it's like this character is done, and it's not that I don't believe you guys that it won't get better. I hope it does.
Oh, so do I.
But in the context of this one episode.
I'm just saying in the context of this one episode, it made it look like he's a goof.
I mean, as a Keeper Ranger has showed, everything can always go to the shit, even at the last minute. But I'm hopeful.
No, and I am too. Like, I want the character to improve.
Still get better.
I don't want any character to suck. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. I don't want anybody to suck.
And this is really the first that they've really gone into Augury, because they've been focusing more on either the characters of the day or Takeru or Ryuga's little...
Or even Rian.
Yeah, or mostly like Ryuga's whole fugitive plot and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the first time they've really kind of focused in on Augury. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more from here.
Hope so.
Yes.
I can easily see what y'all are saying, that his character is going to improve after this. I can see that easily happening.
Yeah.
But like we were saying, right now, this episode didn't really portray him to me as being a very positive episode for a focus episode. It seemed more like focusing on how he kind of sucks and how he's not as good as the rest of them.
Yeah.
And see, I see it as being that way on purpose because he has to be brought to his lowest point before he can turn around and move back up into what he's capable of being.
You guys know how this series moves more than we do, you know? So
you guys have
the reason to be confident in that.
Yeah. It does really remind me of Ray, because he is brought basically to his lowest point in the first series, and to the lowest point of being an utter asshole and douchebag. And is like in the second series, he's like a complete f-ing bro. So, you know, we'll see. It can always change. So that's what I'm hopeful for.
All right, let's take a break.
Yay. Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
Tammy Pete's real brand mayonnaise.
What's that?
Do you have insurance on this car?
No.
It must be Eagle Man.
I've got something for you.
To preserve its comedic integrity, the following segment is presented uncensored.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So this week on Power Playback, we did Go Ranger. The first episode of Go Ranger.
The first episode of anything.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Kamen Rider before this.
Mm-hmm. Touch your mouth.
Paladin, go change your seeing eye, baby.
That's right.
Ken, go change Paladin's seeing eye, baby. So, Fort Max, how about a summary?
Oh, God.
Didn't you threaten us with that earlier to make somebody do something?
That was a Kiba Ranger.
What did we do wrong?
Well, wasn't Go Ranger
Danny,
Fort Max?
What flavor of Malto Mill cereal are you eating? Is it the Frosted Mini Spooners?
What?
You're eating a bag of cereal, aren't you?
No.
Potato chips?
Yeah, Ruffles. They have ridges for your pleasure.
Yeah, he's eating potato chip flavored cereal.
Ew.
That's a brilliant idea.
There's not actual milk on the chips, is there?
Totally.
Sour cream.
You like that milk coating?
Well, you can call
set it up for that one, didn't I?
So anyway, wasn't Go Ranger Fort Max's idea?
Yes.
So there you go.
Mm. And yet we will all suffer.
Of course we will. It's Monday.
If you didn't hate Mondays before...
Oh my god, I'm not podcasting again for a whole week.
Oh, that's right. You're giving up RFC again, too, aren't you?
Well, this week.
Only this week? I thought you wanted out of it full time.
No, just when a certain host is on.
Why? Who's on this week?
It's your midsummer hiatus?
Someone.
Who's on and why wasn't I informed?
You know who's going to be on this week.
No, I don't.
The cat is caressing the stereo.
What?
He's like lying down with his arms sort of lovingly draped on top of the stereo, and he's rubbing his face on it.
That seems like one of those things that would be in a, like, learn English, you know, book. The cat is caressing the stereo. The cat is caressing the stereo.
All right, fine, JD, you do the summary.
All right, so...
But you have to do it with that accent.
In that accent? Okay, yes. So in the beginning of the show...
In the first 7 minutes, lots of people die.
In the first 7 minutes, basically we learned that the Black Cross group of people suck at killing everybody. They
drive this point home.
They basically kill everybody minus one, and we go through five fucking scenarios of them killing everybody minus one.
Now, let's not forget to mention that the Black Cross group is led by the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, so the Grandmaster Ku Klux Klan dude leads up the Black Cross, and they've got like five dudes. The gold face guy, the samurai guy, the what the fuck? I don't know who the other three are. But anyway.
Well, there's Poison Gas Mask.
Yes, Poison Gas Mask.
The best name.
Baby Raper. I don't know who they are. Anyway, so anyway, we go all through. They got Kanto. You got like the northern region. You got the southern region. You got the eastern. Anyway, they leave like five people alive out of this whole fucking defense group. I don't know who the fuck they are. The Japanese can't have military, so they're like, fuck you, we have these guys with guns, but they're not. And they all suck because, like, the one dude was just playing soccer, some of the people running around in the snow, in not snow camouflage. I don't know why. They're being very sneaky in dark colored clothes on the white snow. What the fuck, people? So anyway, they all die, except for the five people. And then there's like a scene where like this Aka Ranger dude goes around and says, thumbs up, go to the cafe. And they're like, hey, we go to the cafe. And so he just drives around on his motorcycle, thumbs up, you go to cafe. And they're like, okay, we go to the cafe. And so we do that like four times. There's a lot of repetition in the show. There's a lot of the samey. A lot of, you know, one.
It's like Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer with Aka Ranger.
Yeah, samey. Yeah. You never expect that out of Super Sentai.
No. Samey. Everything the same.
37 years.
Now, I got to say, though, here I like realize something because I'm watching this. And I realized that the Red Ranger is called Aka Ranger because he's a Red Ranger. And I'm like, wait a minute. So that means that Aka Red, his name is Red the Red.
Yes.
You're
what
like
a Gokajer.
You're
what
like
the actual
six,
fuck.
Yeah, you're like 6 or 7
he
years.
Welcome to Bokenger. That's where he was there first.
Right. Yeah, but I knew all this shit. So I didn't know.
Yeah, you're like 7 years late on that one.
Yeah. Holy crap, I just realized the dude is named Red the Red. That's awful.
Okay. What made the red man red?
So well, everybody shows up at the cafe, and they all kind of wander in, and the one dude's like a complete fucking tool. Because he's like, I want the 4 curry. And he's like, it's a big bowl. I don't think you eat it all. He's like, I want the 4 bowl. Yeah, okay. So he makes the hugest fucking bowls of curry and sits it down, and the dude like makes a fucking mess and eats them all over the place.
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
And it's kind of nasty because he's got like the little bit of curry rice like stuck to the side of his face. So anyway, all these people come wandering in and they all go to the side and they've all got these little like pieces of metal with stars and shit on them. And they're like, oh, well, there's only four of us. And the dude's like, it's okay. Let's go anyway. Because I don't fucking know. So they all go in the elevator thing. And they go.
You forgot to mention your favorite part from earlier.
No. We get there because you don't really see it until you get out of the elevator. Because the girl on this team, like the pants, the shorts.
What pants? What shorts?
Like, it's like hips covered with white and then nothing. It's like they're not even, they're like underwear. They're like
shorts.
As shorts. Oh my God. You could see what she had for lunch. It was insane. I could not believe it was like camel toe from hell.
'70s.
So holy crap. Anyway, so they go all the way down, and then like the douchebag is standing there, like in his cowboy hat and guitar. Cause why? We don't fucking know.
Because he's Zubat.
Yes. Because
that's what they do. So they're like, okay, all of us douchebags are here. Let's go inside. And
was Zubat before or after?
After.
Fucking matter. Okay, so anyway, they put the little metal things on the thing, and it spells out the S thing, and then it opens the door.
Is Zubat in the gun or memory?
Five S, it's all the same. Sentai, Super Secret Sentai. That's what this team is.
Go, five, Go Ranger. V. Go means five in Japanese, so it's like five Rangers.
Actually, Go means V in Japanese.
Oh, does it?
V Ranger.
Fucking shit. My brain just exploded in my skull. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Anyway, who the fuck cares?
Right. VV5.
Dear God. Hit fire right now. Okay. So anyway, they little metal fucking things that spells out whatever the fuck it is, and they go inside, and then the dude's like, hi, I'm like the leader voice guy. You douchebags are the Go Rangers. Congratulations. And so then it's like, okay, well, there's a crazy thing going on, and you guys should go stop it. And they're like, okay.
A school teacher and a bunch of school children being held captive.
In a gunpowder factory.
Gunpowder plant.
And so all I'm thinking is, why are the kindergartners at the gunpowder factory?
It was a school trap.
Because they didn't have enough rope to tie them to the railroad tracks.
Japan has no military at this time.
Why wasn't it like nuns or something?
So gunpowder is like a novel fucking thing. They're like, ooh, weapons of war we cannot have. So anyway, so the kids go on the field trips to see the gunpowder. Anyway, so they go and they's like, all right, I take this motorcycle. You two tools get that one. And then you two motherfuckers, you take the plane thing. And I say plane because it's like a helicopter plane. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's got propellers on the bottom and the top. It's a crazy thing.
It's the Thunderbirds.
It is the Thunderbirds, yes, sir. So, and then
Kaio slapped on its back.
So they go riding into the thing, and the teacher tries to save her students, and they bitch slap her so hard that she falls to the ground because that's how hard they bitch slapped her. So anyway, the Rangers show up and they start kicking ass. And they don't even transform, which is kind of wild to me because I'm used to them like, holy crap, we can't even wipe our ass without being in our fucking Ranger suits. So they show up and they kick some ass, and then they like try to get in the building, and they're like, we can't get in the fucking building. And they're like, okay, well, we'll lower the thing and go inside, and like, hurry the fuck up. All the kids are going to blow up. And like 3 minutes goes by in like 30 seconds, and they drop
time.
They drop this claw thing, and it breaks through the miniature.
Okay, like, okay, so I want to stop you right here. Who thought it was a good idea to bash through the ceiling of the gunpowder factory that's about to explode?
Well, that would be the Go Rangers, because they are
the
heroes.
The fat yellow one.
They are fucking heroes. So they bash through the top of the very ignitable factory, and they pick up a little miniature fucking bus because, oh my God, the effects are bad.
And yeah, then it was the '70s.
The '70s, that probably looked awesome.
And apparently the bomb was actually a strobe light or something, because like it kind of flashes, and then the people are like, holy crap, there's a flash. We should maybe run more than 5 feet away from the building. And so they go like 10 feet away from the building, and then it fucking explodes like insane. Like, woof. Like, I don't know, pyrotechnics at this time? They have no control. It's just all dynamite, apparently.
And so, gunpowder.
Yeah, and there's like buildings exploding earlier. I'm like, man, Sentai had this down early. They're blowing up buildings right off the go.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, anyway, yep. And then
they build that stock footage early.
And then, like, they chase down Gold Mask because the leader guy is like, that's the motherfucker that killed all my soccer buddies. And so they chase him down and they get into a fight and they finally fucking transform, which was kind of cool, but it's all very quick. So there's no cool bracelets or anything. So that kind of sucks. But anyway, they have their weapons on their eyes. So that's weird.
Kind of just don't want to interrupt this.
The what?
It's like, unless we're all providing less commentary than usual, but I think none of us just want to interrupt this. So go on.
I know, it's so crazy, right? It's the weirdest fucking thing. Wait. So they like grab their weapons off of their eyes, and like the Aka Ranger like grabs a rope off his eyes. What the fuck? So anyway, that's what the.
It's not a rope. That's his actual eye, just stretched out really far.
I guess so. Cause like, what the hell? Cause it's like, so they, and then it was like the boomerang thing. I get.
He doesn't know the horror technique of ripping his dick off to form a sword.
Like, Pink One, she has, like, the worst fucking weapon. It's like, look at yourself. Because it's a fucking mirror. It's like...
Because she's pink and it's Japan.
Look at how ugly you are.
In the 70s, no less.
Dear God. But she does have dynamite earrings, so that's handy.
Kapow.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, then they pull out the soccer ball of doom. And they kick it around. And then they blow the fuck out of Goldface. And by fuck, I mean, holy crap, that was a big goddamn explosion.
Yeah, like, you notice how far the camera has to be back for that to show,
man. It was like, that's what I'm saying. In those days, they had, like, no control of the pyrotechnics. It's like, okay, we're going to put a pilot dynamite here. Like, you know, it's like they figured out later, it's like, we just need gasoline. That's all we need, really. We need the fire.
After the actors unionized when they killed a couple of the stunt people.
No shit, man. So, so anyway, they blow up the gold face guy, and then they're like, we're going to come and get the rest of you. And then the Black Cross are like, yes, we will put the burning cross in your yard. And the end. I don't know. Yes.
So what I've learned from this is that we need to start doing summaries with funny accents as a regular thing.
You're welcome.
And by we, I mean JD.
JD has a dress.
You're welcome.
How's your throat after that?
I'm fine. That was easy. That was one of the easy.
What we don't know is that what we think is JD's normal voice is actually him doing a funny accent.
That's totally it. It's kind of like the Hulk. You know, the secret is I'm always angry.
You're always an Italian Russian.
The secret. Yes, the secret is I'm always Italian Russian, but I'm actually doing this American voice. So there you go. Yeah,
so
I don't.
Before you give up that accent completely, Don wants to know if his box is on the way yet.
God damn it! Never let that go. Someday he'll understand that I'm really not sending it. But no, I am gonna send it. It's either going out today or tomorrow. The very latest will go out. The problem I'm having right now is that now I have no way to get it to the post office. So,
issue.
I have no car, and Amanda is working like open to close, and so there's no like,
holy shit,
way to get. Well, yeah, because she like goes to Paycom first thing in the morning. She's got to be there at 8, and then she goes to Zales, and she's not done there until like 9:30. So
Zales, I thought they went out of business. No, Zares. Never mind.
Yeah, totally different thing. Totally different thing there.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I miss Sayers and Hills.
And
other things that date me as a shopper.
Piggly Wiggly.
There's still Piggly Wiggly around here, actually.
Is there?
Sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Venture's gone, right? There's no Venture anymore.
Venture's been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
There is. I remember one of those up in Tulsa.
Yep. There's one. There's a couple in Oklahoma City. I think they got bought out and became Kmart, and then Kmart went.
And yeah, that sounds right.
Who just threw up?
Kmart.
That's how you
yeah, Kmart.
We don't have any Kmarts in the Dallas area at all.
Yeah, there's.
See,
I think
Michigan doesn't have Piggly Wiggly, but we still have Kmart.
I keep hearing a rumor that there's a Kmart in Tulsa. Maybe
there is.
I haven't seen it.
They say it comes at dusk.
But what highway does the Kmart take to get there?
Oh God.
So I was trying to ask earlier whether Zubat was in the gun or the memory, but
no,
I didn't really get an opening.
He's in the cave
all the way to Crobat in 1979.
Ugh. Fucking bats.
Italian Russian.
Stop you. This is bat country.
Well, it wasn't just Italian Russian, JD. A couple places you were slipping into Gigabeetle.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It's kind of a Swedish. It's kind of a European non-specific. Really.
Please allow me. You are from old country.
Yeah, totally. Remember the good old days of immigration?
We allowed it.
We allowed it, and it was like people that, you know, weren't running over a border or something. Yeah. Back when we only allowed immigration from other sides of the ocean.
Ben has just put like 1,000-watt fluorescent bulbs in the kitchen.
Oh, Jesus.
It looks like an operating room in there. It's painfully white.
You don't even like have to turn on the stove. You just put a hot dog on a stick and hold it up to the light.
No, because everything has a really sick blue color to it. It looks dreadful. And he's telling me, oh, it's great.
Oh, so he didn't get the natural light fluorescence?
Why don't you change this out when he... Changes out when he's not looking, you know.
What did he say?
He says he doesn't have the receipt. He thinks that's going to stop me. He thinks I was going to exchange them.
Whatever, we're like...
I'm just going to smash them.
There you go.
I was juggling cans. I don't know what happened.
Oh, you passive-aggressive fuck.
Why is it so dark in here?
I'll just blame David.
There you go.
That's right. Like, you have a scapegoat in the house now.
Like the new kid. There you
then
go.
Then everybody's happy.
Well, I'm happy. That's the important thing.
Fuck those guys.
You are Jay, after all.
Wow. So no debate about Power Playback next week, then.
No.
No.
Go Busters.
Go Busters.
Why would we do that?
Why would you not? I may not be here next week, but
yeah, we got to do it.
But I may not. It just depends on my schedule. The week after next, I definitely won't.
That's all very boring. Anyway, so next week.
Oh, fuck you too, man.
I kid. Anyway,
so Go Busters next week.
So Go Busters next week.
Hmm. Go Busters returns for the next to last time.
Wow, he sounds so. Upbeat about it too.
He probably had already picked out something horrible for us to watch, like Armor Hero Season 2 or some shit.
I don't think anybody bothered to sub that.
Yeah, wouldn't stop.
I can't imagine
why nobody would put time into subbing Armor Hero Season 2, but you know.
Yeah. No idea.
No. Hey, Fort Max.
Yeah.
Think Ultimatum's gonna be out anytime soon?
I have no idea.
Now, wait a minute. Seriously. You've got the beat on some fucking kid, like, talking beef somewhere, and then it's something important, like, when the hell we're going to get Ultimatum, and you're like, Dude, priorities.
He's a gag order on him.
God. Priorities. You're supposed to be our man on the street.
Well, maybe not the street, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The one on your street's the mom.
Imagine the IRC is like the street, and you're supposed to be there, like picking up the news and stuff. You know, doing that detective work stuff.
I'm not half boiled enough for that.
Uh huh. Yeah. That's what I somehow knew. That's where we would end up.
Alan's...
But can Fort Max tell us the secret of Heaven's Tornado?
No. No. It's not happening.
Okay, so anything else for this week?
No.
No.
I think that's pretty much it this time.
Okay, then. That's our show. Thanks for listening.
Yay! Yay, it's over!
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
So I had this dream I was double last night.
Okay.
Probably because we watched like 6 episodes yesterday. I kept dropping my medals. Kind of sucked.
I dreamt that I was washing my clothes in a washing machine at work in the music room, and the boss moved the washing machine out and took my clothes with it.
Damn.
It's kind of a dick move. Like,
did he dream you were double or dream you were O's?
What you should do is go take a shit in his desk drawer. And then when he's like, what the f***? And you're like, well, dude, you moved that washing machine.
You threw away all my clothes while I was washing.
Threw away all my clothes when you moved the washing machine.
By the organ.
Then he's like, what?
Why do you have a washing machine by the organ?
We don't. But that's where it was in the dream.
Oh, okay, you don't have like, one there because your boss moved it. Right.
Right.
I'm
gonna be really confused.
JD, you haven't answered the important question. Were you dreaming you were double or O's?
O's.
You said double.
Did I? Damn it. I wish I was dreaming I was double.
Big difference.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was O's. Yeah. So it was even worse.
Yeah, dreaming you were double would be awesome, but.
Yeah, double would have been awesome. Half. But no, I was O's, and I kept dropping my medals, and it was very.
Realistic,
sucked.
Apparently.
Yeah, I know, because I tried to do that cool move where, like, Ankh tossed me the coins, and, you know, and then I dropped them all, and I was like, well, this sucks, because I'm, like, being attacked, and it's like, well, this really sucks. I'm, like, trying to get my medals in the fucking driver and do the thing, and Hench is like, it's much more complicated than it looks, all right? Like, on the shows, they make it look easy, but when you're actually trying to Hench in the middle of a fight, it's not easy. So my dream said.
That seems actually pretty accurate.
Because see, that's what, and see, that's why I suck right there, right? Because not even in my dreams can I be like a badass writer. No, no, I suck even in my dream.
You get to be AG.
Yes, I have to be AG for one. And then it's like I'm not even cool AG where I can like grab coins out of the air, you know, and just grab my medals and Henshin. No, I'm, like, trying to, like, grab them, and then I drop them, and then I gotta pick them up, and then I'm, like, I can't get them into the slots right. I'm like, man, this is not cool at all.
Like, here's the important question. Did you have tomorrow's underwear taken care of?
I was losing so badly. I don't even know.
I'm gonna take that as a no.
Yeah.
But tomorrow's underwear was unprepared.
Yeah, there was no preparation for tomorrow's underwear.
That's gonna be a problem.
That's all that really matters, too.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we know what happened to your tomorrow's underwear in your dream.
It got thrown away! Bastards! But I wasn't O's, so that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, at least you had the benefit of not being O's in your dream.
All your clothes might have got thrown away in the washing machine at work, but at least you're not O's.
I'm telling you, go take a shit in your boss's desk drawer. Show him who's who, you know.
Superhero Time! 次回もシャバドビー! 止めてみろ!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.